Hey everyone, I'm JJ Stankovic, and welcome into another edition of the Under Center Podcast, brought to you by St. Xavier University. On this episode, I'm joined by Cam Ellis and David Kaplan to talk a little bit about the Bears-Packers game, but then to talk a lot about if this is the game that should decide if the Bears should clean house. All that and more on the Under Center Podcast, starting right now.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What does it mean to be a Chicago Bear? It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense.
I think it's the one franchise that when you think about them, being a defensive player myself, I think that's the first thing you go to.
Legends, linebackers, defensive linemen, dominant players.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
And what more can you say?
All right. I assume everyone who listened to this is listening to this podcast watched the Bears game Sunday night.
Maybe not at this point.
They may not have watched all of it.
Right, yeah.
Good for you if you turned it off. I don't think there's all that much to say about this game. Like, look, the Bears started Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky played like Mitch Trubisky. The defense looked like Tony Dungy said, like they gave up, which is probably actually the best explanation for how bad the defense was. The other explanation is that they're not as good as we thought. But I want to spend most of our time on this podcast, which I feel like we've spent a lot of time on this, but this is the game. We talked about it 2 weeks ago after the Bears-Vikings game. You lose to the Packers and you get embarrassed. These are the games that the McCaskey family holds a lot of weight on. And Cap, you've been around a lot of these changes here in Chicago, your time covering sports in this city. And is this a game that Virginia McCaskey was at Lambeau Field? I am sure there is a sense of embarrassment within the McCaskey family today. Is it enough for them to say, we are cleaning house, Ryan Pace, you're gone, Matt Nagy, you're gone, and we are starting over right now?
Yes, but it has to go deeper than that, because you can't have, and this is not meant as a personal shot at any of the names I'm going to give you, but it can't be George and Ted and Scott Hagel, who's the head of media relations and my former intern and a really nice guy, but has no business hiring a general manager for a football team. It's got to be, okay, guys, we hired Jerry Angelo. We hired Phil Emery. We hired Ryan Pace. These aren't stupid men. You don't get those opportunities. They may not be the best executives, but to get to that level, you got to be fairly competent. Instead, what I believe they need to do is go hire a football czar, president of football operations. Either go find the next John Lynch or go steal one like they did when they got Jim Finks many years ago in the late 70s away from the Vikings. And then he put Jerry Venisi in there and they got Mike Ditka and they got, you know, things turned around and they built the lines. What I'm saying is first phone call ought to be not to the next GM. Hey, Peyton Manning, would you be interested in running the Chicago Bears as the president of football operations? We will make you a handsome offer. Then you help us pick the GM and the head coach, and let's build this thing.
You trust Peyton Manning just intrinsically to turn this whole thing around, Cap?
Well, he's a brilliant guy. He's got an excellent reputation. He knows what winning offensive football looks like. He knows what a good offensive line looks like. Hire the next GM. I'm not asking Peyton to go negotiate contracts. I got people for that. I want him to be my John Elway.
I'm so, I, like, I, You are absolutely right, Cap. But, like, I don't know, hire Lewis Riddick to do that.
But Lewis Riddick is a TV guy. You're bringing him in. You're convinced that Lewis Riddick, who's out of the league, is the guy to turn everything around. I want someone above Lewis Riddick.
Well, no. Right. You need that person at the top who is not Ted Phillips. Let's start here. I mean, Ted Phillips isn't going anywhere. He's on the board.
Just move him to business.
Well, right. You would have to do that. So, Cam, I want to get your thoughts on this because I'm writing this column tonight. I think the only thing, the only option the Bears have if they ever want to get out of this mess, it's not necessarily hiring a new GM, hiring a new coach, even hiring a director of football operations. They have got to hire someone who is committed to a full teardown of this team. Strip it for draft picks, start over. That is what I believe they have to do right now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that there's a prevailing attitude at Halas Hall that maybe this thing can get patchworked on the fly. I don't think that's possible. I think it's very, very difficult to patchwork any sort of rebuild on the fly. But yes, there's no way around it. I mean, the $170-300 million, whatever it is, pass rush tonight literally did not touch Aaron Rodgers once. Not once. They had a roughing the quarterback call. And even that, they barely touched him. So, like, it wasn't even a good one.
That was Bilal Nichols.
Right. The thing they built their entire team identity around was just very easily openly thwarted and has not been good basically all year. Like, this season has been such an indictment of not only the decision Ryan Pace has made on a specific level of who specifically to pay money to, but his approach to building football teams in general. And I think that even more so is maybe more of an indictment of why Ryan Pace should not be sticking around than who he gives contracts to, whether it's Jimmy Graham, whether it's Robert Quinn, whoever it is. It's the fact that he feels that paying through the patch is the way to win, to sustain games. And then watching that investment just not even remotely show up in the biggest game of the year and consistently not show up against the best teams the Bears play. So there is the Bears would be doing everyone a huge service to understand, not the Bears, the McCaskies would be doing everyone a huge service to understand that right now, besides who even the specific names on the nameplates are, the ideas and the organizational approach is not going to work, and it's never going to work, and it needs to be totally remodeled.
Agreed.
Yeah. And so if the Bears had a good GM, if they had hired that guy, Chris Ballard, in 2015 instead of Ryan Pace, Ryan Pace made, well, I cannot stress this enough. Ryan Pace made four top 10 selections in a row. He traded up to get, you know, the number 9 pick in 2016. That's how he did it. But first one, Kevin White, bust. You have to go compensate for that by signing Allen Robinson. 2016, you draft Leonard Floyd, bust. You have to compensate for that by trading two first round picks for Khalil Mack and guaranteeing Robert Quinn $30 million. Mitch Trubisky, bust. You have to compensate for that by trading a fourth-round pick and guaranteeing Nick Foles $24 million, including the way his contract is structured. You are stuck with Nick Foles in 2021. Nick Foles might be the worst starting quarterback in the NFL this year based on some stats. So, and then you go, and the pick you hit on with those top 10 picks was Roquan Smith, who is a very good player, but he's an off-ball linebacker. In terms of if you're ranking the hierarchy of most important positions on a defense, off-ball linebacker is about third at best. So Ryan Pace, like, if you hired a great GM who made four top 10 picks in a row, You would not have spent that money on Allen Robinson. Who Allen Robinson is a great player. This is nothing against A-Rob. Same with Khalil Mack. Great player. Nothing against him. But instead of spending $42 million on Allen Robinson, you could have invested that into your offensive line. Instead of trading away two first-round picks to go get Khalil Mack, you could have had your great edge rusher already in place and use those two first-round picks to, I don't know, build an offensive line. If you drafted Deshaun Watson instead of Mitch Trubisky, different story right now. Those four failures.
How about the $70 million on Robert Quinn?
Well, but I'm saying it starts with those three failures with top 10 picks. That is where this thing started to go wrong, because you can try to cover for those in free agency or with trades, but ultimately the best thing you can do is hit on top 10 picks. And Ryan Pace has been given a lot of leeway in this town because he's hit on mid-round picks, those day three, fourth, fifth round guys. But you don't usually get great in the fourth or fifth round. You get good. You get Bilal Nichols. You get Jordan Howard. You get Adrian Amos. You get good. You don't get great unless you get Eddie Jackson, who needs to remember how to tackle. You don't get great. You get great with a top 10 pick, and the Bears have not got that. And that is why ultimately when Ryan Pace gets fired, whether it's in the next 3 weeks, next 4 weeks, whatever it is, that will be the reason why he got fired.
And by the way, you mentioned Chris Ballard, and I'm not here to denigrate Chris Ballard. He's been hired in 2017. And if you go from 2017 to today, Ryan Pace has a better record than Chris Ballard.
Right. Well, Chris Ballard took over a team really in need of a reclamation project.
Well, so did
Turned them around quickly, got blindsided by Andrew Luck retiring. And this year, I mean, the Colts, like, if they had DeForest Buckner, maybe they would have won today. I don't know. But that's a different thing. Yes, Ryan Pace has a better record since 2017 than Chris Ballard. But no one here is sitting here being like the Bears are in better shape than the Colts.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Chris Ballard may not be the be-all, end-all. Let's find out.
No, but Chris Ballard understands draft value. Like, when Chris Ballard traded a first-round pick, it was to go get DeForest Buckner to go make their defense incredible, and he only traded one of them, and he's traded back so consistently. And by trading back, he got Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard. Like, if you understand draft value, you trade back a lot more than you trade up. Ryan Pace has traded up far too much. This is why, to go back to the teardown idea, the Bears just need someone who's willing to accumulate draft picks and build the roster for the quarterback. Don't draft the quarterback and then try to build the roster.
It'd be a good start. My concern as we sit here at 1 a.m. is that fever pitch always reaches its highest after the Bears don't have a hard schedule going forward, and I imagine the Bears are gonna win a few more games here.
A few?
I think so. Yeah, I think the Bears have two or three more wins left on the
two.
Year.
Easy two.
There's nothing easy for this team. Are you guys drinking already?
I think that they are.
Yes, but.
I think there's still plenty talented to go out and handle the Jaguars, handle
the Lions. Come on, Cap. Lions stink. The Jaguars stink.
Right.
Those are two games that should win. I know that they're on a 5-game losing streak. It's going to end play the Lions.
I'm not convinced of that. I'm glad that you're convinced. I'm not convinced of that. A brand new coach there. They're going to play hard for him. They got the advantage at quarterback. I'm not convinced that we're beating the Lions.
Daryl Bevel's going to, if Akeem Hicks plays, Daryl Bevel's going to run Adrian Peterson 30 times into Akeem Hicks. It's not going to work.
But if Akeem Hicks even plays.
Well, right. If he plays.
There are, this is probably 7-9, 8-8 team.
Right.
There's not a lot of history that says that's going to be enough to move the needles where it matters. Is there?
Well, I mean, Lovie Smith got fired at 8-8, 10-6. Right. Where at that point, the, you know, the McCaskey family decided we had seen enough. It doesn't take a losing season for the McCaskey family to say, we're done with this. I wonder, I mean, look, no one's making money this year, right? Are the Bears making enough money that it doesn't matter, won't matter to the McCaskey? That's my question here. Just straight up, that's the question.
Right.
Okay, that franchise was valued at almost $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That it should not ever be about money.
No, it should not be about the money, ever. But it kind of is.
For them. And that's what the anger is, and that's where the discontent is, right? Because fans see decade after decade of average to below average football with a flash here or there, and they say, what's going on? But the McCaskeys don't view it that way. We talked about this, and I got railed for this. People were like, oh, they do care about it. But like, there's no indications that there's really that making money and winning on the football field are valued at the same level within Hallis Hall.
If they cared more about winning than making money, Ted Phillips would not be in the role he's in.
Right. But I don't know if – I don't know if anything this year between this sort of the wash of, well, we didn't make any money this year, and, well, these results don't really matter because coronavirus, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's such a foreseeable path to them washing the year and going, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to put the playoff mandate on you for one last go around. I don't see the organizational pressure here that I do in other places, especially when reports trickle out every 1 or 2 weeks that Ryan Pace is loved like a son within the family and they really like Matt Nagy's attitude. And it's just, there's the complacency just seeps out more and more every week, it feels like to me.
Yeah, as I look at it, obviously, because they have settled for mediocrity for so long, they don't put enough of a priority on winning. Now, they do spend money, whether it's Khalil Mack or George Ryan. I'm getting up and I'm going to get Mitch Trubisky. Hey, I'm going to take on the money in Foles' zone. Hey, I want to get Khalil Mack. Hey, I'm going to spend $70 million on Robert Quinn or go back to when they got Julius Peppers. We're going to pay $92 million. They've spent money how to build a winning franchise.
Right, right. The spending is not the issue. It's the finding the right football people. And I don't know. I mean, like losing the way they lost to Green Bay today, where they're just a joke. And I don't know if you guys caught it at the end of that game where – Green Bay goes for it on 4th and 2, which is, I mean, an incredible slap in the face to the Bears. And, like, you know, Tirico and Dungy are, like, laughing that Green Bay got the first down. And it, like, justifiably, we're laughing at the Bears. And anyone who's watching that game was laughing at the Chicago Bears. But how much does yet another nationally televised embarrassment move the needle within Hallis Hall? I don't know. That is a question that we are going to find out, I think, at the end of the season.
Yeah.
When
I don't think they would do anything in season, do you guys?
No, they've never done anything in season. That I do not believe is on the table. The flip side though is, you know, there are 4 GM jobs open right now. And
what GM jobs we have open? Detroit, Jacksonville,
Houston, and Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
And I think of those, the only one I would rather not have would be, or at least on the level of the Bears, would be Atlanta. Jacksonville is getting really good position cap-wise. They've got a lot of picks coming up. Low-key, like, Jacksonville's a really good job.
So is Houston.
Houston's a great job because you got Deshaun Watson, and Detroit, you know, not – ideal, but you will have a chance to have a blank slate there. Chicago, to get that blank slate, you've got to do a teardown.
Yeah.
And you've got to really commit to it. And I wonder that there's part of me that wonders, I mean, the McCaskey family went through it 5 years ago where they tore down that roster and it didn't work. So do you do it again? I wonder if, or, and that is where I wonder if the McCaskey family says, we're going to give them one more shot. Playoffs are bust with this defense. But I mean, this defense loses Akeem Hicks and gives up 41 points. Why are we trying to run it back with this defense?
This defense is not that great. They are a good defense that flashes potentially, but this is not a great defense anymore. And how many examples over the last, how many of ever want to use, you want to say, I mean, defenses have one or two historically good years and then just patter off. That's how this works. There's no real reason to believe that if they ran this back next year, the defense would be any better than it is this year. You know, like they're just getting older, that things just aren't working out the way they used to. They're not turning the ball over. Everyone knows the answer to what running it back next year would be, right? It's this sort of funny thing where they go, oh, like if they ran it back, you just never know. Well, no, I think you sort of do. And whether it's Sam Darnold competing with Foles or Baker Mayfield or whoever it is, it doesn't matter. There is no outcome that we don't see coming if you don't blow it up, if that makes sense. Everyone knows what's coming this year. Everyone knows what's coming next year. And you can wait and you can sit on your hands and go, it was hard this year, meh. But you're going to blow it up now or you're going to blow it up in 2 years. But there's no other option going forward.
But the one problem you're going to have is if you try and move, certain guys are untradeable because of dead money on the cap.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try and trade certain guys, you're going to have other teams go, yeah, We can't take on any salary right now because of the pandemic. We're trying to keep expenses down.
Which is that, I mean, that is a problem. If you're trying to trade a very good player like Kyle Fuller, who's, I think his cap hit next year is about 20 million, that's going to be tough. But that's why I think, look, this may be hard to swallow, but you know, team comes calling for Roquan Smith, you Ooh. Do it.
Really?
Yeah. The Dolphins traded Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to commit to this properly, you don't turn down a call for anyone.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's no reason why anyone should be safe this offseason whatsoever.
Right. Like Roquan Smith will look great in a Bears uniform for the next 10 years. But if a team comes and says, we'll give you a first-round pick for him, you take that deal.
Who's your quarterback next year? Please don't tell me he's on the roster.
Well, he better not be. But I'm also like kind of against drafting a quarterback in the first round next year.
Unless he's the guy that your scouts tell you you have to
Right.
take.
Exactly. Unless someone's telling you that Mac Jones is this, you know, every team that drafts Zach Wilson and Trey Lance is missing because they should be going after Mac Jones. You know, then you go get him. But I'm like, you start using those picks on the line.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And you know what? All right. You they need to draft a quarterback next year. But, you know, wait until the second round, third round, fourth round, whatever it is. It's going to suck. Next year is going to suck under this idea. But that's okay. Let 2021 just suck. And in 2022... hopefully you got a high pick and you can go get that quarterback that gives you that shot at finally getting you out of quarterback hell.
Okay, how about this? If you had not found a way to beat Detroit, if Swift doesn't drop the touchdown,
mm-hmm.
if they don't call offensive pass interference in the Giants game or Barkley doesn't blow out his ACL, and if you don't come from 26-10 in the fourth quarter down in Atlanta, all of a sudden – you're 2-9 right now instead of 5-6, and you're in play, maybe not for Trevor Lawrence, but certainly you're in play on Justin Fields.
Yeah.
For Zach Wilson. Yeah. I'd absolutely take a quarterback then. Yeah.
And yeah, I want Penei Sewell. That's the guy I want. He's a left tackle that will be there.
Oregon, yeah. Yep. Well, and look. I think like if you could somehow wind up with one of those guys, absolutely. But that's not realistic. The Bears right now are in line to get the 14th overall pick. And they, as a franchise, have traded up way too much recently. That has been a fault of Ryan Pace. Whoever the next GM is, whether that's this year, next year, whatever it is, I think you should probably trade down from 14 if you can, mm-hmm. and accumulate picks and start building a young roster through as many draft picks as you can get. And if that means you don't get Mac Jones, fine.
There are going to be other.
If you don't get the fifth best quarterback in this year's draft, fine.
I agree. I think that it is ugly, but I see Nick Foles and a quarterback who maybe didn't get his fifth year option, especially now that they're guaranteed at the start of when they're optioned, competing next year with a third string guy that maybe is Mac Jones or Kyle Trask or whoever it is. But yeah, I don't, the last thing you want to do is go reach for QB5 or QB6 in the draft. Like Kyle Trask isn't bringing the Bears back to, 1985 glory. They're going to be where the Bears are going to draft this year. There are going to be better O-line options than there are quarterbacks. And this is going to get uglier before it gets better. They're paying Nick Foles what they're paying him. I think you just have to take your lumps next year and hope that you win 3 games and you actually get a chance for a real franchise type quarterback while using this draft coming up to supplant some talents in places where you may be able to get it. And there's no point in reaching for a quarterback this draft. I think I just don't see it because it's not going to move the needle. It's not at all. They're not going to get that guy where they sit. So find some real talent at holes in the offense of which there are plenty. And then take your lumps next year and really be in play for quarterback in the 2021-2022 draft, because these things take time. They just do, and not everyone's Indianapolis and just gets Andrew Luck right after Peyton Manning. More often than not, these things take a couple years to reset, and Bears fans have to sort of come to the understanding that this is not going to get fixed next NFL season. Sorry.
I think that's a good place to take a break here on the Under Center podcast. We will be right back with more talk about the Bears. We might even talk about the game that the Bears played on Sunday night, right after the break.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
St. Xavier University is for students who want more out of their future. We pride ourselves on preparing graduates with the skills they need to succeed in life. Visit sxu.edu to start plotting your path to a brighter tomorrow. St. Xavier University, the best in you. And be sure to check out the all-new Roto-World premium subscription packages, which have the tools and resources you need to dominate your fantasy leagues from drafts through the playoffs. And with playoffs approaching, you are going to want to get in on this. It has been a huge key in my surge to the playoffs. Also kind of helped me pick up the Packers defense today. Anyways, you can use them for football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. As a listener of the Under Center podcast, you get $10 off any annual subscription to RotoWorld Premium. To find our edge, visit rotoworld.com/edge using the promo code PODVIP10 at checkout. All right, JJ Stankovic back here with Cam Ellis and David Kaplan on the Under Center podcast, solving all the problems of the Chicago Bears, or at least trying to figure out a way to do so. Let's spend the second part of this podcast just kind of talking about this game, because it was so predictable.
Right.
The whole thing was predictable. The Bears defense collapsed without Akeem Hicks. Mitch Trubisky played like we would expect. You know, the only thing that was unpredictable was that David Montgomery got some holes to run through, but he only got 11 carries, which I guess was predictable. There was nothing that surprised me about this game.
Yeah, when he ran for 57 yards on the first carry.
Yep.
Okay, how does he get 10 more carries the rest of the night? And how come, I believe it was two plays later, they're handing the ball to freaking Cordarrelle Patterson. Again, why is Lamar Miller here? Why is Artavis Pierce here? Why do they – Matt Nagy drives me insane with his stubbornness that it's his scheme and we just have to change out the offensive line coach because Big Bad Harry Heistand, who, by the way, coached 3 of the 5 All-Pros last year.
Coached 2 of your 5 starting offensive linemen today.
It's unbelievable what we're watching out there. Unbelievable.
Yet it's so believable.
I guess you're right.
I've been really, really disappointed with Eddie Jackson this year.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And the more and more I think about it and read about it, the more and more that contract looks pretty bad. Yep. And it's not that he's not a good player, because he is, but safety is just maybe not a position you need to be sinking massive amounts of money into. I don't think Eddie Jackson, even on his best day, is a type of impact player that you pay top market dollar to. I just, he when he's not turning the ball over, you just like, I'm not sure where his fit is in this offense. He is a very talented safety who has the ability to make plays, but he's played very poorly this year. He didn't have a great season last year. It's just things have gone down since he had that all-world season in 2018. And you just, I mean, you talked about Roquan Smith. I think if someone calls on Eddie Jackson, you don't hang up the phone until you figure out a move, because I think that's a contract that you're going to look at and go, I kind of wish that's off the books too.
Well, the thing with Eddie Jackson, it's the same thing with Cody Whitehair and Eddie Goldman. And these contractors, Ryan Pace, to his credit, has rewarded his draft picks.
Right.
But they add up over time.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Goldman's a really good football player. The Bears miss him greatly right now. Cody Whitehair looked a lot better at left guard than he did at center. Cap, I'm sure Olin Krutz was yelling about that in the green room.
Yes, he was.
These are good football players, but the Bears have continued to reward good. And again, that's fine to an extent, but ultimately when you do that over and over again, and you tie yourselves up in a cap situation, and you're not letting these players walk in free agency and getting those comp picks like you got for Adrian Amos, got a 4th round comp pick for Adrian Amos, which you then sent to the Jaguars for Nick Foles, you are hurting yourself from a cap perspective, not just from what you can spend, but then from what you can get with draft capital, who you can draft. And a lot of teams that are successful in the NFL will let these guys go. And as painful as it would have been to go into this year without Eddie Jackson having a new contract, imagine if he didn't right now.
Right.
No one would be talking about, does Eddie Jackson deserve a new contract? It'd be, I guess they might let him go test the open market next year and see what he can get.
Well, how about the move to let Nick Kwiatkowski walk and re-sign Danny Trevathan, who's showing his age?
Yeah. And it's like a, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, because then you go, you make that move. You let Nick Kwiatkowski walk, and it's like, guess probably shouldn't have done that. Although I will say that is extreme second guessing for me, because I was someone who was in favor of the Danny Trevathan move. I did not expect him to fall off this much. Also, Danny Trevathan today got kind of a bad rap because he got burned by Davante Adams like 17 times. But like, that is not Danny Trevathan's fault. That is Chuck Pagano's fault for allowing Danny Trevathan to ever be trailing Davante Adams. That's Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers doing what they're so good at, which is creating mismatches for the best wide receiver in the NFL in Davante Adams.
Yeah, but we saw guys running wide open. Robert Tonyan, if I see him one more time running with unfettered access to the first down marker, it was, all right, 3rd and 7. Let's get off the field here. Nope. 4th and 2. Guess what, Chicago? Go F yourself. We're going to run it right down your throat, or Aaron's going to find an open man.
Remember the times when we thought Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur were going to hate each other and be at each other's throats and it wasn't going to work? Those are fun times.
Yeah. Those are fun times. If I'm Nagy, I'm walking into Chuck Pagano's office and going, yo, man, like, what the hell was that? I know that I'm not the guy to tell you how to run your defense, but I know that wasn't it. Like, it was just awful. Every time the Packers wide receivers caught the ball, there was 5 yards of green grass ahead of them. I would love to see what their yards after catch was on Sunday night, because it must have been stupid high. It was just an embarrassing performance by a defense. And it was so embarrassing that I found myself letting the players off the hook a lot of times, because they were so clearly overmatched schematically and so clearly mismatched. And the game plan was so clearly not working that you sort of go, okay, like, they can only do so much with the fact that, you know, Danny Trevathan has to run with Davante Adams 20 yards across the middle of the field on a deep post like that. It makes no sense.
Was like Khalil Mack having to cover Alvin Kamara a few weeks ago.
Dropping 8 into coverage on 3rd and 10 against Aaron Rodgers. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, how about on that 3rd and 10, you're talking about where he threw the touchdown pass?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you explain to me, when you're rushing 3, why Robert Quinn's not on the field?
Right. I remember seeing that and being like, wait a minute, they're not rushing. Like, you're rushing 3, but one of them's not Robert Quinn. What are we doing? And it wouldn't have mattered, because we went to 1 as 1-on-1 matchup anyway.
Right. It's not like Robert Quinn makes a huge difference these days.
Yeah. But you're paying $70 million. I would hope my second best pass rusher is out on the field.
Yeah.
Well, your second best pass rusher was on the field if it was Mario Edwards. I don't know. I mean,
Brent Urban.
Yeah. Like, oh God, they're such a mess that, yes, I think they're going to beat Detroit next week, and I think they'll still beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that I have them winning one more game. I don't know who it'll be. They win one more. That's it.
I mean, well, yeah, and that will cement everyone getting fired if they win one more game, because that means you lose to either Detroit or Jacksonville.
And then Green Bay, obviously.
Obviously Green Bay, which I think, right. You know, I think we can say it's probably a given that they'll lose in Jordan Love's NFL debut.
That's cool.
I mean, I don't mean to be this cynical and this negative about this team, but they've lost 5 games in a row. This is sunshine and rainbows. Matt Nagy got asked at the end of his press conference about David Montgomery today, and it was like, cool. David Montgomery at over 100 yards. Neat.
I'm so over the Matt Nagy press conference, and I'm sure he's a good dude. And
you had a good column on this, Cam.
I did. I wrote on this after the game. I think he's a great leader. And I actually, ever since he said he'd be a good college coach, I'm just convinced that's the case. But he doesn't the we're not gonna quit thing drives me crazy, because the Bears quit tonight. They did. I don't want to hear anything else. The Bears quit at times tonight.
Right, their defense quit tonight.
Right. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't half blame them. But we're soul searching. We got to figure it out. You guys have lost five straight. It's week 13. What do you mean you have to figure it out? You just had 2 weeks of doing nothing to figure it out. Every week we're fighters, and I'm never going to question my guys' effort. It's like, well, maybe you should, because that would be better than what you're doing right now, which is very clearly what he says just means absolutely nothing to me anymore at this point, because it has no value. You can very clearly tell it has no value to the players. You can very clearly tell it has no value on its face. There's nothing there anymore. He's just filling all of our time with hot air.
Agreed. I can't disagree. And I like Matt very much. I've been around him. I think he's got a great culture up there. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Lou Piniella came up to me one day. He said, you know what the problem is here in this town? You all want to like your athletes. He goes, give me a couple of jackasses that all they care about is winning.
And Chicago would probably love them because they'd be winning. So they don't need to be right. Nice.
Exactly. It's like
Rodman here.
Right. That's the catch of it all.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky endeared himself to fans this week with everything that he said. And it was like, we're all behind Mitch. He had that great maybe speech before the game. And then he came out and it was like, all right, he's still Mitch Trubisky.
He had the best practice week of all time, JJ. You forgot.
Right. Yeah, that was Mitch Trubisky best week of practice.
Alex Brown and I won a little money on points bet tonight, betting on Mitchell Trubisky.
And did you bet yards and the over with points bet?
They do what's called points betting. And so Mitch's over under total was 379. You get his passing yards times the number of touchdowns that he throws.
Oh, yeah. You guys won a lot there.
We ended up winning, I think, $176 on that.
There you go. I love it. Okay.
So not everyone had a bad night.
No.
Everyone had a bad night. You guys are probably loving garbage time.
Game ball goes to points betting. How about that?
That's probably the first time Alex Brown has really been behind Mitch Trubisky in 2 years.
Every time he would dink and dunk for, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards, we would be like, that's $2. That's another $5. Yeah. Yep. It was great.
The shopping cart grew and grew today.
Hopefully some of our listeners out there, threw down on points bet with some teasers or some points betting and at least won themselves some money on Sunday night, because the Bears embarrassed themselves in front of a national audience. Again, the good news is it's just noon kickoffs from here on out.
Oh, yeah.
No more national audiences for the Bears.
Maybe no more regional audiences either.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll see. Anyways, we're going to wrap it up here on the Under Center podcast. We always do game balls after this game. I don't know. I'm sure we would all give ours to David Montgomery. Qualms. Okay, great.
I'd mind to Mitchell Trubisky since he bought my lunch.
Did he want you some money?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Kyle Fuller for talking more to the refs than he's ever talked to the media.
By the way, memo to Jalen Johnson, when you blow up a receiver and the ball is in the air a foot from you, instead of standing over him like taunting him, how about catching the ball that popped up in the air for an interception?
Yeah. David Montgomery gets the game ball. Never mind.
I'll go with that.
I'm going to give the game ball. I'm going to give the game ball to Aaron Rodgers, because if there is change at the end of this year, which I know most of our listeners probably want.
He spurred it.
The way I put it in my post-game reaction was the ball had been rolling down the hill for a little while now. And this might have been the game where the Bears could no longer stop it from rolling.
That's a good way to put it.
This felt like the point of no return game.
Yeah, they could have scored 50 easy if they wanted to.
It
was funny to me listening to his post-game interview, because he was talking about the Bears and he goes, oh yeah, traditionally Chicago's Green Bay's biggest rival. And because they're not Aaron Rodgers' biggest rival, because they never beat Aaron Rodgers. So it was just funny listening to him dance around talking about a rivalry that hasn't really been one for two decades or whatever.
No longer a rivalry. Right?
No. It was a bit of a rivalry when Lovey was here.
Yeah, but now they are the hammer and we are the nail.
Yep. And until if the Bears want to find a way to stop being the nail, they got to tear it down. That's what this game proved to me, a thought I had had for a little while, and that is where I'm going to leave this episode of the Under Center Podcast. Anyways, we will be back on Wednesday with a new episode of the Under Center Podcast. It's going to be our mailbag edition, so get your questions in. Tweet them at us, at JJ Stankovitz, at NBCS Bears, at Kingsley Ellis, and we will get to as many of them as we can ahead of the Bears-Lions game, which we're going to have to talk about that because the Bears are playing the Lions.
That means we're getting Dick Stockton.
Oh, God, Cap.
Just as things get worse and worse.
All right. Well, no
more Joe Buck and Troy Aikman sightings this season.
No. Well, I mean, thank you. Lucky for Troy Aikman, he doesn't have to watch the Bears anymore. Anyways, since Cap threw my train of thought off by saying we were going to get Nick Stackman on the Bears game on Sunday, that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Under Center Podcast. Get your questions in for our mailbag episode on Wednesday. We'll be back again then. Anyways, for our producer, Tony Gill, for David Kaplan, and for Cam Ellis, I'm JJ Stankovitz. Thank you so much for listening to the Under Center Podcast, brought to you by St. Xavier University. We'll talk to you next time.